to the exclusion of others, and you will find that Christendom has accepted it. I remember when a man learned that I was a minister of the gospel, he was defending the fact that he was among the priesthood, had no comprehension that what he was saying, and I believe he was speaking in all sincerity, that God had put an end to any distinction among those in his family. But at this time, there was. And so it makes it so difficult today. It would be so much easier if there were a priesthood and there were some who were reverends and some who were ordained in a special way as Moses and Aaron and their children. But you will find that there is not that today. And because of that, inasmuch as we are all priests, we are all holy, there seems to be absolutely no respect among the people of God today. You see, you can come up and say, I am as holy as you are, I am as good as you are, you have no right to tell me what to do. You will find that this is the presumption today. Inasmuch as God has not put these demarcations among the priesthood that you presume to have as much power to minister or speak or interpret God's word as I do. This is a strange thing. But this is as much an error in the New Testament as Korah's error was in the Old Testament. But let me tell you about it. What started it all was this. God's original intention, if I read it correctly, to make the whole nation of Israel a priesthood. Because God said in Exodus 19 that he is going to make them a kingdom of priests. But you will find that in chapter 20, when they came to Mount Sinai, and there was lightning and thunder and fire and smoke, it said that the people were afraid, and they said to Moses, we don't want God to speak to us. Let God speak to you, and then you come and speak to us. And then you will find later in the book of Exodus that it is not the kingdom of priests that God addresses, but he speaks about Aaron, and he calls him out, and he speaks of Aaron, and his sons are to be consecrated to the exclusion of all the others. And so, perhaps, the grain of truth that was in the mind of Korah was God's original intention, but the children of Israel spoke in such a way that God set aside that original intention, and he ordained Aaron and his descendants as the priesthood. But what God had originally intended to do, now Korah says, God has done. We are just as holy as you. We are just as good as you. But that's wrong. You will find that when God reaches down and picks up certain sinners, such as Abraham, then God is going to work with Abraham, that particular man. God is going to bless the whole earth through Abraham. And if another man, say, Jacob and Esau. Esau says, well, God is going to use me. I'm just as good as Jacob is. Indeed, he might have been physically speaking. But God says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And so if God chooses Aaron to the exclusion of the other Israelites, and if God chooses Jacob to the exclusion of Esau, and I probably could have gotten along better with Esau than Jacob, then this is up to God. And you must accept these things. But you will find that the Israelites would not accept it. Let me show you. They do it again and again. God said to them originally, now you are to go and attack the foreigners in the promised land, and I will give you power to overcome them. But the Israelites said, we can't go in. The 12 spies went, and 10 of them came back and said, we are as grasshoppers in their sight. We cannot go in. And God said, all right, you're not going in. And then God said, you're not going in. They said, we will go in to fight. How strange man is. And at the same time, you will find that when God told them that they had sinned and that they could not overcome the nations because of the trespass of Achan, they said, we can overcome. And they went to fight when God said, you cannot overcome. When God said, you can overcome, they said, we cannot overcome. And so God said, all right, you can. But then they said, yes, we can. And so you had better ascertain what God has spoken to you. If he has said, go, then go. And if God has said, stay, then stay. But we fail to learn these things. It is good for a man to know exactly the position that he occupies in the body of Christ. And you could be learning all about it if you were out Wednesday night at the meetings at 7:30. I'm so thankful for all of you who come, but we need the teaching. And we are going through the epistles in the New Testament on Wednesday night. And we are studying about all the gifts in the body of Christ. And this is what Paul says. He said, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all, and he goes down this list of gifts, and the answer is no, not all are. If he asks, are all priests? The answer is yes. But among the priesthood of all believers, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Then God makes distinctions among the one priesthood of all believers. And so inasmuch as that is true, if I, a priest of God, have been gifted and equipped by the Spirit of God to be a teacher and you have not, then you presume to say, I have as much right and authority to teach as you do. Do you see the similarity now? As for being a priest, you have as much holiness and power and authority to enter into the very holiest of all. Your prayers are as acceptable to mine. You have as much power to consecrate the elements, the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the body of Christ? Any man who is a true child of God and clean in his heart may give the blessing for the bread and for the cup. But at the same time, if the Spirit of God has not equipped you, if he has not placed you in the body of Christ with this gift or that gift, then you say to another man, I am going to speak. I have just as much a right as you. Then you are doing the same thing that Korah did in the Old Testament. But the danger is this. It was so clear-cut, when God said this particular thing. He said, now, Aaron, yours is the priesthood. I've given it to you. And he said to the other sons of Levi, he said, yours is the service of the tabernacle. It is so clear-cut. But when it comes to gift, well, it is not so distinguishable, is it? It should be, and yet any man can say he is a teacher, and many times they refuse to be told that they are not able to teach. And because of that, this man says, I have as much right as you do. I might err in this, permitting men to speak that did not have gifts. I've been told that, but I enjoy always having someone to share the meeting with me. I used to do it all the time until the people wearied of it, and they would do everything in their power to pull it down and say, well, we have such a short time, you just do the speaking. But then, there were Timothys that worked with Paul, and at the same time there were Joshuas that worked with Moses, and this is the way I think it should be. However, the people of God would not tolerate it, but just remember this, that if you have a gift, you have a God-given right to exercise that gift. But if not, do not think that because you are a priest that you have a right to minister publicly. This is a mistake among the assemblies. And if a man is put down, they say, you have no right to do it. I am as holy as you are. That's right. But you are not as gifted as I am if God has given me the gift. And at the same time, it says in Acts chapter 20, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. If God has made you an overseer and I'm not an overseer, I have no right to take care of the flock of God in that official capacity. Why? Because the Spirit of God did not gift me in that particular way. And we have to ascertain. And that's why, in one way and in one sense, the denominations have it so much over us. They say, you are the pastor. You are the official man that does all the preaching and the praying and the consecrating. You are the man. Well, whether or not he is, the congregation knows about that man. But do you know what it says in the New Testament? It says in Thessalonians, know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And you should do that. You understand that those who gather to the name of the Lord, the full-time ministers, receive no guaranteed salary. And yet it does not mean that they are not to receive salary. They are to receive wages. I heard one man object about this. But the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them. The Apostle Paul received wages as a minister of the gospel. But the difference is this. In New Testament times, God has as distinguished men, made as distinct as the clergy and the laity, those that are gifted and are not gifted, those that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and it says, know them. And it says in 1 Corinthians 9, the laborer is worthy of his hire. But the difference is this. You have to ascertain who is a man gifted of God, and you have to ascertain in an intelligent way what is right and minister to that man who is ministering to your spiritual needs. Do you see? And inasmuch as it is not so clear-cut, Well, if we fail in one respect and say, well, I don't know that that's so. I don't know if he's a minister. Or I don't know if he deserves this. That's the way we do. But God has placed this solemn responsibility upon us. And I'm taking this. I'm crying to God, give me this day my daily bread. And God is exercising other hearts to answer that prayer. That is how we do in the New Testament. We live not according to the Old Testament. God wouldn't say it in the Old Testament. He would say, 10% is what you have to give, and this is stipulated. But in the New Testament, God says, know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord. It says in Hebrews 13, obey them that are over you in the Lord. And so God expects us to know. You say, well, how can we know? Well, unless you are spiritual and unless you have perception, you are not going to know. And you will be just like Korah in his rebellion. And that is what is so bad. Because now we are all in the family of God. And you are as much a child of God as I am as much a child of God. But you will find that in a family, there may be one man who is ever so musical, but the other son may not be able to carry a tune. And another man may be very gifted in engineering and electronics. He may be gifted with his hands, but the man that's musical may not be able to work at all in the same family and yet not have that gift. And so this is the way that God has done in the spiritual family. And you are to recognize the man that can sing and carry a tune and a man that can work with his hands. Why, if you said to me, now, John Mills, I want you to make these banisters and put them up here. Well, if you looked at them, you would laugh. Whereas we look at those and we say, how attractive, this man is gifted, you see. And I trust if you put me up here to preach, you say, thank God, the man is blessed. But I do not know if the man who made these banisters, if he could stand up here and minister the word. And you are to recognize it. I can look and see that the man is gifted that did that. And I trust that you'll have perception that a man who stands in this pulpit has a gift or does not have a gift. And so the Bible says, know them that labor among you. But some, we don't want to hurt feelings, and so we let anything go, but you will find that God says no. You understand the comparison I am making now. Not that there is clergy and laity in New Testament times. We are a kingdom of priests. God has made us kings and priests. There is not one who is born into the family of God who is not a priest. Understand that. But there is not one in the family of God whom the Lord Jesus has not specially gifted, that is gifted to minister, to preach the gospel, to teach. And if you can't make that distinction and the comparison that I'm giving you between number 16 and Ephesians 4, well, I can't make it any clearer. No clergy and laity today. No distinction between the holy priesthood of all believers, but a definite distinction between those that are definitely gifted by God and those that are not gifted. And to intrude into the ministry when God has not gifted you is to do the same as Korah intruding into the priesthood of Moses. But now, I understand a little bit about it. Now tell me truthfully, does this mean anything to you? Levi, Kohath, Izhar, Amram, and Korah? Do those names mean anything to you? You say, well, not really. All right, listen. Levi begat three sons. Their names were Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. Now, Kohath begat four sons, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. And Amram begat three children who were Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. And if you listen carefully, you will understand the kin between Moses and Korah. They were first cousins. You will find that Amram and Izhar were both sons of Kohath. And if two brothers have children, then their children are first cousins. And Amram was the brother of Izhar. And Izhar was Korah's father, and Amram was Aaron's father. And so Izhar, who had Korah, and Amram, who had Moses, why, Korah could say, I am just as much kin to Kohath as you are. And Moses and Aaron couldn't say a word about it. My father is the son of Kohath. Your father is the son of Kohath. And Kohath is the son of Levi. And Levi is the one from whom all the Levites spring. I am just as holy as you. Now, sad to say, I didn't read it to you for the sake of time, but you will find that even among Aaron and Miriam and Moses, they couldn't stand it that God had exalted Moses. You'll find that his own brother and sister rebelled against Moses' preeminence. And now you find that his cousin, Korah, rebelled against the preeminence of Moses and Aaron. But you will find that every time that happened, because God saw fit to lift Moses, Moses drawn from the bulrushes, what a picture of grace, destined for drowning and destruction, and yet God graciously reached down through Pharaoh's daughter and rescued that man. And so here is Moses, and God exalted that man. This is the way that God did. And you will find that Korah could not stand it. Now think, here they are in Egypt. You will find that as Amram was a slave in Egypt, so Izhar was. This was all happening. It's so fascinating as you look into genealogies, your own genealogy and these genealogies. You'll find that all of these things were taking place in Egypt. And so here is Moses. You know the story of how he was rescued. And yet Amram and Izhar were brothers, and these men had two sons. Amram had Moses, and Izhar had Korah, and so they're first cousins. And now they're both in the wilderness, and Korah presumes to say, I'm just as holy as you are. You take too much upon yourself. And this is what Miriam and Aaron said to Moses. Remember, Moses is their baby brother. And who can stand a baby brother to be exalted to no more than they do, to be exalted above them? Moses was exalted above them, and Aaron and Miriam could not endure it. And you will find in chapter 12, just listen for now, that they said, hath God only spoken with you, Moses? Hath he not spoken with us also? And it said that God spoke suddenly unto them, and God afflicted Miriam with leprosy. And God is not going to tolerate the criticism of one whom he has lifted up. And so beware how you speak against the servants of God. It's so strange in the assemblies. We say anything we want to about anybody. We can criticize them. We can pull them down and tear them to pieces. Whereas in the denominations, it's just the opposite. They set their minister on a pedestal. Right or wrong, he is our minister. They never say a word about him. But in the assemblies, you see, John Mills is my brother. And so Moses and Aaron and Miriam, who are brothers and sisters, why, they say anything they want to. But God protects the man. So beware. God afflicted Miriam with leprosy because she presumed to say, God hath raised this man up. And so I'm as good as he is. God has spoken by me. And so it may be that God has spoken by you. If God has made you an elder, God expects us to have reverence and respect and decency and order. And God has a social order and a distinction among the sexes and in the church and in the world. And God expects us to maintain that order and not say, I'm as good as anybody else. This is what God is seeking to set forth in this passage. And yet Korah would not accept it. Now, this is what has happened. And this is what makes it so difficult. That I told you that Izhar and Amram were brothers. And these brothers have children, and God could just as easily have chosen Korah for the priesthood, but instead he chose Aaron for the priesthood. And he was so near the top, because God chose one family for the priesthood, and all the other Levites, all the descendants of Levi, and you will find after that, and you will trace it through the scripture, it's so fascinating, I can only suggest it to you. I told you that Levi had three children. He had Gershom, he had Kohath, and Merari. And Merari and Gershom were simply Levites. But Kohath, you see, it's closer. Kohath, when he had children, from Kohath came the priesthood. And Korah was set aside when Moses and Aaron were chosen. That is the tragic thing, that you are so close, and yet God sets one aside and chooses another. And Korah could not endure it. You see, he was his first cousin. Now think in the New Testament. You'll find in Mark chapter 6, the Lord Jesus comes unto his own, and it says his own received him not. He speaks, and gracious words proceed out of his mouth, and they say, is not this the carpenter's son? Why, we know his brothers, his sisters, they live among us. Why, we are not going to accept this man. And it said, the Lord Jesus could do no mighty work there. And the Lord Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own household, and among his own kin. And so you find the lesson repeated over and over again. They fail. Would you not think that when the nation of Israel stayed for a whole week until Miriam, who was cured of her leprosy, was cleansed, would you not think that they would learn about speaking against a man like Moses? But you'll find that after chapter 12 and chapter 16, Korah, and he gets 250 others in addition to Dathan and Abiram, have all of these princes of Israel to stand up and say, yes, what they're saying is true. You be sure, when an accusation is brought against a man, that what is spoken against that man is scripturally sound, lest a similar judgment be brought against you. Now, I mentioned this mistake that is repeated again and again. Here is one named Absalom in the book of Samuel. And Absalom goes around and he steals the hearts of the children of Israel. And he takes 200 men, and it says that they went out with him in their simplicity. They knew not anything. But here is a fine-looking man named Absalom, and 200 go out with him, and their destiny is sealed because they don't know what they're doing when they follow Absalom. And in like manner, when Miriam and when Aaron speak against Moses, and when Dathan and Abiram and these 250 princes stand up against Moses and Aaron, then you will find out that they did not know what destruction awaited them, but God did. And as Moses said, do you not understand the exalted position that God has given you? There can only be one that occupies the priesthood. Now, next to the priesthood, you come in that order. You have the service of the tabernacle. What no other Israelite can do, there are 12 tribes, but only one tribe can come near. You are that tribe. But God has chosen Aaron, and Aaron is the priest. But now you can do everything that Aaron cannot do. Here is what Aaron could do. When the tabernacle was taken down, Aaron had to go and take the veil and the articles, the furniture of the tabernacle, and prepare them. And when it was all done, then Aaron would say to the Kohathites, he would say to those that were descendants not of Aaron, he would say to the rest, you come. Now, you bear these burdens. You take care of these vessels. You do thus and thus. This was a high position that God had given, the next to the highest position spiritually in Israel, but they were not satisfied with it. Now think of this. Do you remember one named Lucifer who said he was not satisfied with being the anointed cherub that covered? He said, I will be like the Most High. And God said, you will be cast down to hell, to the uttermost parts of the pit. And so this is what happens. Satan was almost as high as God, high as any creature could be made, but he wanted to aspire to a higher position. And God said, there's only one that can be God. You're going to be cast down. And in like manner, Aaron was sovereignly chosen of God to have the priesthood. And yet Korah said, we are going to have the priesthood as well. And God said, no, you're not. And so it is a presumptuous thing to speak against those that God has elevated. But in New Testament times, it is not a clear-cut demarcation that is observed, because at that time you could look at Aaron, and he had on the high priestly garments, the garments of glory and beauty. He had on the holy linen garments. You could distinguish this man by what he wore. You'll find nowhere in the New Testament that any minister of the gospel is to wear special garb. He is simply not to cast a stumbling block. You're to have a good report toward them that are without. You're to do things decently and in order. There is no special garb that those that preach the gospel, that minister before God, wear. And yet some do. And so you can say, well, that man has his collar reversed. Look at the clothing he wears. Well, he must be a minister of the gospel. He may be a minister of Satan. It says in 2 Corinthians 11 that they fashion themselves into ministers of righteousness. So be not deceived, thinking that if a man wears priestly garments and special clerical garb, that this man therefore is a priest of God, is an ordained minister. It may not be that at all, but you will find that it may be a man who wears just ordinary clothing is a minister of God, and you have to know those that labor among you. But this takes discernment and thought, and at the same time, it takes discipline in your life to acknowledge this when you do not have to acknowledge it. In the Roman Catholic Church, in the High Anglican Church, it was not anything that you know. It is something that is set before you. It is prearranged. But in Christian circles, biblically speaking, these are things that you have to know, that you have to ascertain. And so Korah would not acknowledge the position that God had given Moses and that God had given Aaron. And it said that the earth opened up and swallowed them alive. How sad. And you will find that all of the others, and this is what is so tragic, I told you that the lesson was repeated over and over again. in the case of Miriam and Aaron, they criticized Moses, the judgment of God falls. You will find that Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and 250 criticized Moses and Aaron, and the judgment of God falls. And now, as soon as the judgment of God falls on these sinners, the congregation rises up and says to Moses and to Aaron, you have killed the congregation of God. Can you imagine such a thing? The Lord has just from heaven judged these men. It's not Moses and Aaron, but God has judged them. But then they presume to say, it's your fault, Moses. Moses didn't do anything at all. He interceded that all of them be not destroyed. But then they make that same mistake. And finally, when the plague of God was sent, they keep their mouths shut at least for a little while. And so you will find that God still has authority in the world today. Beware lest you presume to take that authority if God has not given it. Because you'll find those such as Dathan and Abiram and Korah in the New Testament. Their names are Diotrephes. God never put them in that position, and yet they assume that position. They would keep the Apostle John from coming to the church, and if John wants to send certain ones to the church, Diotrephes receives them not. There are some who are in high positions that have no right to be there. I'm not speaking of that. You do not have to respect the Diotrephes, but at the same time, if those, like that Paul spoke to in Acts chapter 20, over whom the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, then they are men that must be respected. And that is the discernment that we need to know. To disobey is to incur the judgment of God, but at the same time to listen to one that God has not raised up is to invite disaster and failure among the assemblies of God. The Lord speaks about the gainsaying of Korah. They perished. May we be those who eschew all the ways of Korah. Let us pray. Now, Father, we could wish that things were so clear-cut that we could not make a mistake, but thou hast not set it forth that way. And because of that, we accept it from thee. But we pray that, as Paul prayed for us, that prayer shall be answered. And this I pray, that we may grow and that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may distinguish the things that differ. And that is what we pray, Father, that we shall have that discernment. And even though we might not like it, that you have chosen a Moses and an Aaron instead of a Korah, then let us understand that you have done this, our Father, and let us obey. And then if there are those who presume whom thou hast not raised up, let us know that as well, and let us not obey. Father, thou hast given us this glorious position, this freedom that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ, and let us not violate it. Because mistakes can be made, let us not set up a clergy. But at the same time, because a clergy is not set up, let us not say then, we are as good as any of the rest. We have as much right as this or that. You must, by thy Spirit, give us the wisdom that is from above. As it says in the Scriptures, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So teach us humility, and let us assume the positions that thou hast given us, and carry them out in meekness and in humility. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.